I'm excited to be here. You guys are the, you're the rowdy group. You guys are rowdy. I mean, so, yeah. You guys behave. You guys, I, the first service didn't do it, so it threw me off. You guys were like, the scoop. It's like, okay. The scoop is in the house. That's funny. But no, I'm so excited. I always love coming here and seeing you guys. You guys are, I love you too. You guys are beautiful people. Most of you guys don't age. You look the same. I love it. Let me take what you guys are taking. So I want to give out a shout out to Pastor Mark in his absence. Shortly after he got here, he reached out to me, and it really did mean a lot that he did that. He seems like a very generous guy, and I know God is using him in great ways, so I just want to give a shout out to him. He did not get a makeover. He is out of town. My family is here, and it's cool to have them with me. My mother, yeah. She is not my sister, girlfriend, nor wife. She is clearly my mother. Just want to set that straight now. And then we've got my brother, Jacoby, who's 17. He's becoming this football star. We've been busy this summer going to different football camps and colleges that are looking at him. So it's been a lot of fun.
Heidelberg.
Moving right along. I got my little cousin Chris, wave your hand. It's a smart kid. He lives with us. And then we have some people are so close to you, they're like family. So we got Tyshawn and Yanis. They're like, they're good friends of the family, but they're like, they are family. Like my little cousins, so Tyshawn and Yanis. So it's cool to have them with us. I hear that there's a water shortage, which is so much fun. We were told that a case of water will be $20 at Toledo. That's sad, but I'm like, after the service, let's all go to Walmart and drive to Toledo and make some money. And Tiffin? Seriously, wow. That's not funny. That's really sad. Wow. I actually used the water today. I brushed my teeth with it. So hopefully I don't pass out or anything like that. So, and it's exciting to be here. Everything worked out when I was talking to Mike, and kind of the thing that God has placed on my heart, it fit right in with the sermon series that you guys are having, which is Agents of Faith. And so I just want to spend a few moments sharing what God has put on my heart. He has lately, for myself personally, put this heavy on my heart, and I believe it's definitely for myself, but it's also for the body of Christ. And so today it's really simple. My message, I can give it to you right now. I'm on this campaign. I'm on a campaign for us to earnestly seek after the Lord. And that's where I'm going today. That's my message. A campaign for us to fervently, earnestly seek the Lord. It's a plea that I have today for us to do that in our lives. The scripture verses are Psalms chapter 63, verses 1 through 4. I love that sound of like flipping pages. It's a beautiful sound. When you got it, say, I got it. Who were you? Nice. Oh, that was Mr. Stover. Got it. Good. Get in there. You guys are out of control. She's getting there. Well, let me know when you got it. Got it. Help us, Lord. So, 1 through 4, it says, You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you, I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. And then Luke chapter 10, we're going to look at this story. This is a really cool story that I love to look at a lot in my life. Luke chapter 10. All right, is anyone getting there still? Got it. All right, cool. Let's read. Sui's got a cell phone. Those tech guys. Oh, both of you, the Sui's. Okay, verses 38-42. It says, and Jesus and his disciples were on their way and went to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha's got some attitude issues. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for, God, your word is so powerful, and I pray, God, that you will speak to us. I pray that we will have open hearts. God, if there's any distractions, that you will quickly eliminate it. Lord, this is... God, this is a message that we've got to get, Lord. If we don't get it, our life is kind of tangent upon it. And so I pray that you will speak through me and help us to, God, just embrace this word and apply it to our life, Lord. I just thank you for what you've done so far. Thank you for your presence that is so real in this place. And God, just we agree, Father, that we want you to have your way during this time. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So I love this story. So Jesus and his disciples, they've been ministering all day. And so Martha, she's a sweetheart. She opens up her home to Jesus and the disciples, which is kind of a big deal. And so she's like, she would do anything that we would do too. Jesus is coming over. You have this list of things that need to be done, and she's like focusing on those things. And she might have even had a conversation with Mary. She's like, listen here, Mary. Jesus and the boys are coming over. Do this, that, and that, and this. And Martha goes, and she's like, she's focusing. And the Bible didn't say that she wasn't doing anything important or that... she didn't have to take care of things. Jesus just said Mary chose what was best. And so, and it's like any of us. If someone was coming over to our house, we would spend a lot of time trying to get it together. Each of us, I know it's the case with my house, each of us would have different responsibilities, do this and do that. And it seems like Mary felt short and Martha wasn't having it. To the point where she gave Jesus some attitude. She's like, listen here, we got this and that to do. Can you tell Mary to get her hiney up and go to work? She got attitude with Jesus. And then you have Mary on the other hand. You got sweet old Mary, and initially it looks like maybe she's being lazy, but the Bible says that she sat at the feet of Jesus. She sat at the feet of Jesus, and this is something that God has just been speaking into my heart and something that we need. We've got to sit at the feet of Jesus to behold his presence, to be right where he was. And Mary, listen, Martha was distracted. She was with Jesus, serving Jesus, and missing him at the same time. Mary understood the circumstances and the situation. She said, I am in the presence of Almighty God, and I cannot miss this for nothing. I can't miss this. Oh, the sweet presence of the Almighty God. He's here, and I just want to sit at his feet. And it is a beautiful thing. It is a life-changing thing to just bask at the presence of God. If you've ever experienced the presence of God in such a real way like this, it's an awesome thing to experience God like that. Years and years ago, in the Old Testament, they had the holies and then the holies of holies, and then only the high priest can enter into the holies of holies. And he would wear this garment with bells on it. And so people like you and I, we would stand outside the door, and what we would have to do is we would have to listen to the bells to start ring. And when it starts to ring, then that indicated that the presence of God was there. And so they were sent there listening to bells ring, trying to listen to bells ring. When that happened, the presence of God, I said, oh, thank you. But we are fortunate, and sometimes we take it for granted. The Bible says when Jesus died on the cross, that veil was broken, and now you and I, we have presence into the holies of holies. But we got to sit at his feet. And I'm here to tell you those moments in my life, and I can identify them right there, when I've experienced the presence of God in such a powerful way. I wouldn't change it for nothing, and I desire it more and more and more and more in my life, just to sit at his presence, sit at his feet, to behold his glory, to bask in his presence. And we need that, folks. We need to sit at the feet of Jesus. But Mary is distracted. Martha is distracted. She's all jacked up. She's serving God with bitterness in her heart, and she gave him attitude. And how devastating yet common this is, even in the church, to serve God and yet miss his presence at the same time, to the point you serve him and you get frustrated. You serve him, and there's some people, they serve all the time, but you know it's like, that person's not really gentle. A person's not really you don't really want to be around them because they serve him with a bitter heart. And Jesus is right there in the room, but Martha's caught up with other things in their life. And just reflecting on my life, sometimes I get that. I get that. And it's something that the Holy Spirit has revealed to me. And again, this message is for me just like it is for you. And that's why I'm so passionate about us getting it. That we're so busy, folks. We're so busy to the point where we don't sit at the feet of Jesus, to the point where it used to bother us. You know, you remember when you used to just spend time with him, and then you go a couple of days and you get frustrated, and then now it just doesn't bother us anymore sometimes. Like that sitting at Jesus' feet is absent, and it's so scary that for some of us it's gotten to a point where it's absent and it doesn't even bother us. And so I have a pretty busy schedule. I work in a town called Waukegan, and it's about a given morning can take me anywhere from an hour and a half to 2 hours to get to my job one way. Yay! But it is a blessing. A couple of months ago, I got promoted to operations manager. That's why I took it that far. But by the grace of God, through seeking his face, looks like it's pending that I'll be able to move closer to home. But I realized that I was so busy and caught up in that busyness. You know, traffic for you guys is that big John Deere tractor that you got to go around. And then I remember living here, I don't even know what it is, God help me. There's that thing that I always wanted to drive under. It's like that big one. I was just like, I wanted to go, but I was like, I better not do that. I came close, but I was like, nah, I'm not going to do that. So life is busy, and when you're busy and you forget God, it affects you. Like you become impatient. You're not as loving. You're not as generous. You're frustrated all the time. And that's what Martha was doing. She was, her mind was focused on something else, and she missed the very thing that was the very most important thing. And I feel like we all can relate. We're all so busy. We all wake up in the morning, we've got our agenda of what we got to do and how we're going to get it done. And we wake up and that's the very thing that we focus on. And we're very dedicated to doing just that. All of us, we're just so busy. But then Jesus gets her attention. Thank God for his grace and mercy that no matter where we are in life, no matter how far we're off or how far we've turned from him, he always has a way by his grace of getting our attention. And I feel like that's what he's done in my life. It's like, whoa, time out here. And he goes, Martha, Martha. And I don't know how he articulated, but he says it twice and that emphasizes, listen, Martha, what I've got to say to you, please listen. It might very well be the most important thing that I'll ever tell you. It might be the very thing, the only thing that you need in your life. Martha, Martha, James, James, listen, I've got something to say. James, Old Fort, people of God, listen, I got something to tell you. And the message that Jesus communicates to Martha, he wants to communicate to all of us. And listen, church, this is why I'm here this morning. It is so important that we get this. Our life is tangent upon it. Our destiny, our future is tangent upon this one point right here. And if we don't look like Mary and we look like Martha, we need to take this, ask the Holy Spirit to work in our life so we will learn to be like Mary. This is so important. And I'm praying that it's like, God, in the areas that I'm not there yet, please, God, get me there. Martha's focused on many things, but Jesus said there's one thing that is needed. She's missing it, and that's to sit at the feet of Jesus. That's it. I know some of you guys, there's going to be some profound, deep, philosophical. No, it's to sit at the feet of Jesus, and that's it. That's the one thing. And God didn't tell Martha, listen, what you were doing isn't important. It's important. If Jesus is coming to my house, it's important to clean areas that I haven't even seen in 10 years. I mean, that's important. But Jesus is like, listen, there's one thing you need to focus on. And then it hit me as I was studying this, and I believe the Holy Spirit put this in my heart. Mary, after sitting at Jesus' feet, will be a lot more equipped to do what Martha is doing right now. Okay? Mary, get that. Follow me here. Mary, after sitting at Jesus' feet, will be a lot more equipped and effective to do what Martha is doing right now. Martha's serving and she's frustrated. Martha's serving and she's bitter. She's kind of angry. But I'm telling you, Mary, after sitting at Jesus' feet in this moment, Mary is getting a renewed mind. Mary is getting renewed strength. Mary is getting understanding. She's getting wisdom and perspective. And how do you know this? How do I know this? Because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord, he will renew your strength. You will soar with wings like eagle. You will run and you won't grow weary. You will not... Excuse me, they that went up on the Lord, they will soar with wings like eagle. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And we need that, church. We need a renewed mind. And now I have to ask myself, in that moment when every morning we get up and we do things in our own strength, and at the end of the day we're tired, we're frustrated, we're impatient, we're bickering with each other, we're short with each other. It's like, why would I ever forfeit seeking God to do it myself? And that's the reality of it. Many of us, we're tired. If you'll be honest with yourself, you're so tired. You're so worn out. You're frustrated. Some of you might be at the end when you just want to throw in a towel and give up. And my fear is that we're trying to do this thing called life by ourselves, and we were never created to do it. And I know people who do it, and again, I'm in that mode sometimes. They live a life of just worry. Always worrying. What are you worrying for? The Bible says, how many of you can add a second to your life by worrying? It's ineffective. Why are we stressing out? Why are we worn out? We were never created to do this thing on our own. Never. And we have lost the art of just sitting at Jesus' feet. And it's foundational who we are. We need to be a people that just sit at the feet of Jesus, to behold his glory, to make time for him. Jesus did it. Jesus, there were nights when he would sleep 3-4 hours a day. And at the end of the day, he needed to be with his Father. I'm telling you, if Jesus needed to, I think I do too. To sit at Jesus' feet. We've lost the art of it. Because it's only our communion with God flows our power as a Christian. Your ability to fight sin. Your ability to sincerely love people. Even your ability to endure suffering comes and flows through your communion with God. And so it's no wonder that sometimes we hit the wall when something bad happens. Maybe it's because we're not spending the time with God that we need to. And we need to spend that time with God. It makes a difference. It makes a huge difference. A person who earnestly seeks the Lord versus a person who doesn't makes all the difference. I'm going to use a toothbrush analogy. I heard it, and on the way home, my mom, she's like a breath detector. So on the way here, it wasn't her, so out of the five of us, someone's breath didn't smell too well. And I'm offended because I was sitting the closest to her, so... I've been doing this all day just to make sure I'm fresh. But if you go a day, let's say, without brushing your teeth, you might not notice it. For some, you might. Some, you might not. But if I go 3 weeks without brushing my teeth and I talk to you, you're going to pass out. There's going to be a difference. And that makes sense in our mind, but why doesn't it make sense in our spiritual mind? Listen, if you go a day without spending the time with God, okay. But if you go weeks and weeks without having a set aside time with him, it's going to make a difference. It's going to change the way that you think. It's going to change the way that you treat people. Like, listen, so much is weighing on this. We need to spend a long time with God. And I'm not talking about, for instance, on my way to work, I spend a lot of time worshiping God, talking to God, spend a lot of time listening to the sermons. I'm not even talking about that. That's not just my alone time with God. I'm talking about a time daily where I'm just quiet before him. Just sitting still, basking in his presence. Daily time with the Master. I want to be like David. David says, listen, there's one thing. You know, you talk to David. David, what's that one thing in your life that you must do? He says, one thing that I ask of the Lord, and that only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold his glory. That one thing that I want more than anything is just to spend time with my King. And here's the thing, some of us were so burdened. Again, we live such worry life. Your mind is consumed with the things of this world, and you were worried and upset about many things. I love Matthew 6:33. It's kind of a layout for us. It's almost like a spiritual equation. It tells you what not to do, why not to do it, and then what to do instead. And Jesus simply says, listen, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Now, for some of you guys, that's just crazy to think because of the things that you go through. And for someone to tell you don't worry about your life, just do you know what I go through? And listen, this isn't conditional. This is for every situation that each of us go through. He tells us, don't worry. But I love it because he doesn't just leave it there. He's not like, listen, don't worry. And you're like, okay, God. He tells you why you shouldn't worry. And then he says, look at the birds of the air. Do they not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them? He's like, he articulates why you shouldn't worry. And then he tells you what you should do instead. Mike, can you guys come and help me close? He says, what should we do instead? Don't worry about your life. And this is why you shouldn't worry. And then here's the liberating thing. This is what you got to do. And this is what we got to be. We got to get today. And he says, listen, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Is it really that simple? I mean, is it really? It's like, God, that can't be it. You're telling me everything that I worry about, everything that I stress out, the remedy, the revelation, is all I got to do is to seek your face? Yes. And the promise is, and I'll take everything else. Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and everything that you worry about, I got it. And here's the thing, it's true. When we learn to get up in the morning, when we learn to just give our day to God and say, God, this is yours, and not spend so much time worrying because all it does is stresses us out, and say, I got to give this to you, the promise is he'll take care of it. And I dare you today, rest in Jesus, folks. Rest in Jesus. I dare you to seek his face. I dare you to begin to mark down on your calendar every day at 7 o'clock in the morning, this is my time with God. And I can't miss it. I can't miss it. Well, today I got to get up early. Well, today my time with God is at 6 o'clock in the morning because I can't miss it. Too much is weighing on it. Too much. My life is, I'm telling you, my life is too busy. My life is too crazy. My life is too much going on for me to ever try to wake up and do it in my strength. Every time, I'm telling you, I get knocked down. But if I learn to get up and seek his face, say, God, today I give it to you, Lord. He says, be still and know that I'm God. God, I seek your face. This is the most important time. It's the best way I can spend my time, Lord. Got this to do, got that concern, got this on my plate, got that, got to do that. But if I just learn and just say, God, I want to be Mary. I want to sit at your feet. I want to behold your presence, God. Just want to sit there. Seek your face, Lord. Seek your face, God. Seek your face, God. Seek your face. For some of you, it's the very thing that you do. You need it. You're fighting it. Some of you, you won't do it. Some of you, you're going to wake up tomorrow morning, and I'm scared for you. Because you're going to go back, and you're going to worry about the things of this world. And this is the very thing that you need to do. You need to seek his face. To seek his face. I'm telling you, this is a campaign I'm on. I'm pleading with you. Seek his face. Let me tell you something. I would have never made it through what I've been through the last 3 years if I didn't seek his face. Because of it, he's given me a renewed mind. He's given me strength. I can soar. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Folks, we need it. Sit at his feet. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you get it. I pray that you get it. It's the most important thing. If I were to leave and die here, I feel comfortable. I give you the most important thing I can give you today. Seek his face. You do that, everything will be just okay. He'll take care of it. He's a faithful God. So faithful. He loves you so much. And young people, start young. All the journey he'll take you on. If you would just say, even listen, sometimes you don't feel like it. Sometimes you're tired, you got stuff to do. But if you say, God, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to seek your face. You'll be amazed at what he does in your life. And listen, this thing is bigger than ourselves. Because here's the thing, we need to seek His face not only for ourselves, but we need to seek His face. You understand that we are the hope of the world? Wow. You and I. It's amazing that God, and I, if you never think about this, I pray that the Holy Spirit will move in your life, that you realize that you are the hope of the world. The world needs you. And we're powerless without seeking His face. The world needs you. And we live in the Chicago area, and just the 4th of July weekend, it's even hard to believe, there were, I believe, 81 people were shot. And 14 died. And there's other things. Recently I was just going through this period of like hearing things, and I'm like, oh God, oh God. And you have the same thing. You have your old gods. Oh God. And I was reading this, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. Something simple Paul said in Colossians verses 2 and 1 to the people in Colossians. He says, I want you to know how hard I'm contending for you. And it made me think, wow, what am I doing? Am I looking at the situation and saying, God, I seek your face for these people in the city, God. What are we contending for? That wayward child who's lost without a mother and father. We say, oh God, touch that kid. You know, that widow woman who feels lonely, what are we contending for? That's what we were created to do. God, I pray that you will give this woman peace. Those people who don't know Jesus, oh God, may they have an encounter with you. We're not called to be a people that just looks. We are called to be a people that contends and seeks His face. Because that's what the Bible says. Here's the truth of the matter. If my people who are called by my name, that's us, you and I, if we will humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways, He says, then I will, I love this, that He's like up there and He says, then that would tickle my ear. He said, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and here it is, I'll heal their land. God, we need a land healing. We need a land healing. And I was thinking, what if there was a connection, because I believe there is, it's like, when my people do this, then I will do this. So what if there's a connection between what we see in our world today versus the manner in which we seek the Lord? What if that's it? What if we as a body of Christ would begin to seek Him more fervently, more earnestly, more aggressively? I believe we'll see even more miracles, more healing, more people come to Christ, more marriages restored, more people, young people saying yes to Jesus and no to drugs and no to sex. We'll see people coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. There's so much weighing on this, folks. I love this quote, and then I'm done. Someone says, seeking God is an earthly license for heaven interruption. Seeking God is earthly license for heaven interference. And I love that because I think of heaven all the time. I think of what it would be like to see Jesus. You know, my beloved Father is there, and I can't wait to be reunited with Him. But to get to heaven and see my Jesus and just gaze upon Him, see Him face to face, that's what I live for, folks. To see Him face to face, and to try to live a life that when He sees me, He says, well done, my good and faithful servant. But in heaven, God's a perfect agenda is taking place. Everything looks like it's supposed to look in heaven. And to believe that if we seek His face, we get a little heaven here on earth. And so I've been lately praying this in the worship team, they're going to sing it. I've been, God, let heaven come. I'll seek your face, God, let heaven come. Let your presence be so real. God, I don't want to box in your power, Father. Let your power reign in this place, God. Let miracles take place, God. I want to see families restored. I want to see things looking like it's supposed to look. I want to see it look like God created it to look. But what's the thing we got to do? We got to seek his face. That's it. Let's pray. God, I thank you, Lord. I pray that this very simple point, Jesus, of seeking your face, it won't just leave this room. God, like I said earlier, I'm so afraid that the very person that needs this, they're going to wake up in the morning and worry. I pray, God, that you would just wrestle with them now so they can say, Father, yes, Lord, I'll seek your face. That they can, even now in their heart, Jesus, working in a way that they can say, yes, God, I'll sit at your feet. I'll behold your presence just to be where you are. Father, we need it. We need it so much, God. It's the most important thing. And I pray that we will respond and say yes to you, God. No to the worries of this world. And yes to you, God. Love you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Folks, God is so in his place right now. He's so in his place right now. And as you leave this place, make the decision to seek him with everything that you have. And it's a promise, you'll find him. Your life will be blessed like never before. I pray a blessing on the people, God. Pray a blessing on your people, God. As they go forth, God, may we seek you. You're so worthy, God, to behold your presence. Just want to be close to you, Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys have a great Sunday.